Yes, welcome back into the Wednesday installment of the Auburn Daily Show. I'm Harrison Tarr, joined as always on every Wednesday by Dylan Lark, who has an at next to his Twitter handle, and I don't have an at next to my Twitter handle, so I don't know how that shook out. But Dylan, how are you today, my man?
I'm doing all right. Finally got internet back after like 45 minutes without it, so that was fun. Great morning. Weather looks great outside after, you know, the weekend that transpired. So good to see the sun still out.
The weekend that felt like the second coming of the flood. I should have built my ark. I was looking for Noah for a minute there. It's been a week here down in the Southeast, and it's been a week here on the plains of Auburn, Alabama, where the Auburn basketball program's got some news, man. Lance Dahl and I recorded yesterday, and I kid you not, on this show, 6 minutes later, as soon as we hit in record for the Tuesday installment of the Auburn Daily Show, Chance Westry and Johan Traore entered the transfer portal. It became publicly known that they were in the transfer portal. So now here we are. I'm back. Dylan's here. We're gonna talk Johan Traore, Chance Westry to the portal. What does this mean for Auburn? What does this mean for Bruce Pearl and company? And what does this mean going forward for the rest of this campaign? Dylan, I'll go and get your thoughts on. Let's start with Chance.
Starting with Chance. All right. So Chance Westry did not play in a lot of games. I think he was seen in like 20 in total. I believe that's factual. I'm going to 11. Sorry. Johan played in 20. Chance appeared in 11 games, but we seem to believe that he was injured and it was just kind of nursing that. That's why he, you know, did not perform up to his rating. Shot over 14 from the 3-point line all season. And it seems like he was going to be kind of a red shirt and going into next season as potentially the starter, giving him a whole season to get off season to get over the injury, to get kind of more acquitted to the play style and what Bruce wants him to do. A 6'6" guard would have been great, but I'm not too surprised by the transfer, especially since maybe we should be just because of the way the social media was portraying that he was going to be the focal piece going into next season. But I'm not too upset about it. I think it makes the most sense out of the two transfers.
I don't disagree with you, Dill. I'm sorry. I thought you were about to have to riff there for a second. This one, like you said, it made more sense out of the two. I think the Chance can transfer within the conference.
Yeah, I think that both these guys could see potentially going to a different team in the conference. There are a lot of teams that could use their kind of talent. Teams like, Ole Miss, Georgia, those teams that have kind of been kind of lackluster over the past couple of years in the basketball realm. But I wouldn't be surprised if we saw like a Devin Cambridge type beat where they transferred in to a Pac-12 level team. A lot of teams could use their type of talent. Johan was a 5-star coming out of high school. Nothing to say that he wouldn't be a 5-star transfer target. Same with Chance Westry being a 4-star. Those guys who have those collegiate experience are seen as a more potential candidate to be picked up in the transfer portal. That's what makes them more appealing to the eye is the fact that, yeah, maybe they didn't perform well, but, you know, they have a year under their belt under collegiate coaching. We saw it with Devin Cambridge, a guy who underperformed his last season at Auburn, but then transferred out and had a pretty daggum good season for the Arizona State Sun Devils. He was the human highlight reel, gone over to Arizona State, and he learned how to shoot a 3-pointer. I think this could benefit him. You kind of hope they don't go to the SEC because, you know how talented they are, how talented they can be. And last thing you want to do is have to sweep your own recruit back in high school.
Absolutely. And to the point of Johan Traore, and you were talking about Chance Westry and how he made more sense. And I'm sorry you had to riff there for a second. Life happens, man. I sometimes, whenever I think people won't bother me when I'm on lunch, that they just choose to not do that. That's just kind of how life works and the real world works. That being said, Johan Traore was an interesting transfer for me. I get it from his perspective, and we talked about this on the College Loop yesterday on our little reaction episode about how we always support, you know, players doing what's best for them. I guess he's just not part of the plan going forward, because I think that if he were to be, the Bruce Pearl would have
fought that a little harder. And by that, I don't mean that Bruce isn't upset that Johan is leaving campus. What I'm getting at is I think Bruce Pearl must have his eyes on some pretty big fish in the transfer portal. And we are so far from that portal period even really getting completely underway. We've got to get through the Final Four and let people talk to each other and figure out what's best for them, best for their families, the whole nine. Johan, I think, doesn't fit the mold as much as Auburn fans might have liked to think he would fit that mold. Let's be honest here, Dylan. He wasn't the player that a lot of us thought he was going to be. And sometimes there's just not much you can do about that. So that's to his credit, I think he can transfer pretty much anywhere in the country. I think a lot of people will still be very
interested for sure
in his talents, and it'll be what it'll be to some extent. Your thoughts on Johan and his future? I personally would not be surprised if he stays within the conference. I don't even rule out a reunion with LSU.
Yeah, after LSU is the worst team in the conference, they definitely could use a player like Johan Traore. I was a little taken aback by him transferring out, because I thought as the season went along, he was kind of seen more as a defensive piece. Like when Dylan Cardwell went out, Johan Traore got more minutes. And I thought he really shined in those minutes. I think that defensively he was ready. He was ready for the big time when it came to locking down whoever he saw on the other side, or whatever four or five he was going up against. He was ready for it. Offensively, not so much. I think that he was kind of seen as a taller Zeb Jasper at times because his ability to lock down forwards, but his inability to make shots for himself, to get buckets, that's what caused him kind of to be seen as a further along the line bench piece. And we thought that later during this offseason, it was going to be a huge opportunity for him to get better, for him to get a shot, for him to get confident beyond the arc. And we saw what he could be. We saw his potential. We saw in the South Carolina game, that was the last true offensive game for him before he kind of disappeared. And maybe there's some frustration going on with the fact that, you know, there's a three or four game period where he wasn't on the court. And a lot of games sprinkled around where he had won the 2 minutes. And when you're playing the game, it goes a whole lot faster. So 1 minute could feel like he was in the game for like 2 seconds. And that's probably what it felt like. There probably is some frustration. You hope there's not, because you don't want there to be bad blood between the two. But I can understand why he wanted the transfer. But I also don't understand why he would want to, specifically because with Janai Broom coming back, wanting to play the four more than likely, it leaves more room for Johan to play a center, play the five, which is what he played in high school and what he is preferably wanting to play. I think with he is able to shoot a three. He has the stroke to do that. And I think if you look at it, he's the more of all the centers throughout Auburn history, he's probably the most confident you would be in one shooting a three-pointer.
Sure.
But I don't really get it. I think that if he stays, Auburn is less likely to pick up a big man, because I don't think Janai wants to play the center role. I think he prefers that four role. We love the block party, but him playing that four would really benefit the team. But with Johan gone, you kind of have to pick up a five in the portal. It's got to be you have to get one, because if not, I don't really trust Dylan Cardwell in the starting minute, in the starting role. I know your thoughts on Dylan Cardwell. I love him as a hype man. He's a great off the bench player. He can really get the crowd going, but big but here, when it comes to starting and it comes to him in the big time minutes, we saw it more often than not where Dylan Cardwell proved that he was not a starting player in the SEC. He was not a starting player on this Auburn team, because there were a lot of games where he just looked lost. He didn't know what he was doing. He messed up assignments. He went up with one finger instead of two of his hands to go get rebounds, and that's why he missed a lot of them. It was embarrassing at times to see him in those roles, because when you are playing for a team like Auburn, who doesn't have the best past as in the past, like 20 years of, if you look back 20 years of basketball, was laughingstock. Dylan Carter would have been a starter then. But looking now, Auburn has been to the March Madness, and they've won the tournament. They've won the SEC. Dylan Cardwell is not what you expect from an Auburn starter anymore. And I think with Johan gone, you really have to hammer a nail in the head, get a five. You have to get a center in this portal because now it becomes more important than ever.
I don't disagree, Dylan. And I do think it's interesting with the pair of transfers for that matter, what this opens up the possibilities for 2023-24. I think that there's a non-zero chance Alan Flanagan's back. I think he's gone, but I think it's a non-zero chance. I think that there's a strong, strong chance Jalen Williams comes back for another year of eligibility. I'm curious to see if this is the end of the transfers. We've heard rumors that maybe Wendell Green's weighing out his options. I don't think that's true even a little bit, but some people seem to believe that Wendell could be on his way out if things fall the wrong way. KD Johnson, who knows what his fate looks like? Lots of moving pieces and the departure of both Johan and Chance Westry. You're curious to see where everybody plugs in. And like you said, I do think that you go get that power five, that power big, instead of playing. Johan's really a stretch four even in that. Instead of playing Janai in that stretch four role as well, you're plugging in a true five. And I think that's something that Auburn truly needs, because I'm with you. I don't know that Dylan Cardwell is that guy. If he comes out and shuts me up next year, so be it. Good for him. Happy for him. That being said, there is another kid that's on his way into this program and that people are very excited about. We're going to talk to you a little bit back at home about Aiden Holloway here in just one moment, his performance in the McDonald's All-American game last night. But before that, I need to talk to you guys just a little bit about our friends over at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is a free app that allows you to choose any 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 players from any sport in your wagers, predict the over-under for the next game, and win big prizes if they do well. They have flex options where you can still get paid on winning only 3 of 5 or 2 of 3. And you can have multiple sports in the same parlay. Dylan, I can't tell you how much I love that feature. It certainly takes my money away because I'm a terrible gambler. Take Lindsay's locks. Don't take Tar's takes. I promise you. Best of all, use promo code Auburn. That's AUBURN to receive double your first deposit up to $100. That's promo code Auburn, AUBURN, for double your first deposit. This college basketball season is about to end. We've got NBA going on. MLB's here. It's spring. It's time to talk all kinds of ball. We're busy right now. But win some money with Prize Picks and the Auburn Daily. Use promo code Auburn, AUBURN, to receive double on your first deposit up to $100. Let's keep talking college hoops here, Dylan. We're talking Aiden Holloway right here on the Auburn Daily Show, the Wednesday installment. Aiden Holloway, the Garden of Aiden. He put on a little show last night in the McDonald's All-American game. And did you? I don't know if you got the chance to watch, but the kid is disgusting.
I did not watch it, but I saw the highlights. Put up 17 points in the put up 10 in the first quarter. Might I add, but put up 17 points. From reading about it, he played more of a facilitator role in the second half, which I'm A-okay with. Prove to everybody that you can pass the ball. Why not? If you can score the ball and pass the ball, and I heard that his defense it got blown by a couple of times.
I thought it was fine.
It's going to happen.
It's also an all-star game.
Yeah, they're not really playing to their highest potential on defense, because you know, the All-American games, the All-Star games, those Pro Bowls, they're not made for like trying hard on defense. They're made for, let's make this as fun as possible. And Aiden Holloway did that. I think he gave Auburn fans a lot of hope. And it looks like he could be the day one starter. I think with
he's a day one starter, no question. He's a day one starter.
But the question does lead to does Wendell Green come off the bench? Going in the next season, is it going to be more of an Aiden Holloway shooting guard, Wendell Green point guard type beat? Or is there another guard somewhere in the portal that Auburn is looking to go for?
Where does Trey Donaldson fit into this scheme?
Exactly.
I don't think Trey's going anywhere. I think he's certainly a piece for Auburn in 23-24. Aiden Holloway blew me away last night, and let me tell you why. The McDonald's All-American game in 2023 was labeled as the legacy game. A couple of different guys who have had their fathers and grandfathers play in the McDonald's All-American game participating, namely Bronny James. And I know that people, this is crazy. I'm talking about Bronny James on an Auburn podcast, but here we are. When you've got that kind of name, that kind of notoriety in the same game as you, and you're still standing out, still receiving I guess, feedback and praise for your athleticism and your accolades, you're doing something right. I'm not taking anything away from Bronny James' athletic abilities. I think he's going to be a fantastic basketball player. I really do. But when you're playing on the and sharing the floor with a guy like that, and people keep calling your name like Aiden Holloway saw last night, you are going to be special, and you're built to handle those big moments. Like you mentioned, it's going to be very interesting to see how this Auburn guard room really shapes up in 23-24. Aiden Holloway is, I'll go ahead and tell you right, he's day one starter and he's a one and done. This kid's not going to be playing 2 years of college basketball. So Auburn fans, when you get him, enjoy every game of him, because he is special. He is different. And the kid can, he can stroke the ball from three. He's a three level scorer, handles it well, facilitates it well. I am super fired up, in case you couldn't tell, about Aiden Holloway and the Garden of Aiden on the Plains. That being said, Dylan, I mean, I don't want to cut you off here too much. I did make you ramble earlier. Thank you for being flexible. I don't know what's going on in this whirlwind of a Wednesday, but I did want to kind of go in on that for a moment. How special can this team be with Aiden Holloway and a couple of, let's say the Auburn goes and gets their guy as a big, and they go get a five and they get a consistent, let's call it a 33 to 35% three-point shooter. Where is this team at next year, and why is it a contention for an actual national championship?
Well, look at it from if a guard is not in their eyes right now, I mean, you have Aiden Holloway, who's for sure going to be the one. I think Trey Donaldson plays that two route. I think he gives you what Zeb Jasper gave you with defense. And a little bit of shooting. We saw it in the last two games of the season where he shot 5 for 5 on three-point attempts in the last two games in the March Madness. So that on the best possible scale you could be on, he was doing
biggest
it.
Biggest stage,
yeah. But I look at it from what's going to happen at the three. Jay Will, we assume, is gone. And we assume Alan Flanagan's gone. So that leaves Jani Broome going to pick up where Jay Will left off at the four. Auburn looking for a five in the portal. And now you got to be looking for a three as well. And you hope that maybe one of those guys on the bench is that. I mean, we don't know where Leor Berman is going to fit in. I mean, maybe he's the starting one.
Leor Berman is gone. That's a guy that's definitely gone.
Dang it. But what I see is a team that already has the pieces installed to make those shots. We saw that Auburn has had their best seasons in them when the three-point is their bread and butter. And right. We haven't seen that in 2, 3, 4 seasons.
For a while.
I wouldn't have said 2019 team was probably our best team we've had, but they couldn't even really hit the three consistently.
They weren't the best team Auburn's had. They were just the hottest team in the tournament. They live on that legacy.
Yeah, but the 2021 team is what I'm thinking of too. I get the years confused. That was the best team Auburn had, but they weren't even a three-point shooting team.
2021 was the best team Auburn's ever had.
Yeah. But you pick up those pieces. Five should be easy to find. There's a lot of mid-majors that a lot of the centers were carrying those teams, and Auburn's going to go pick up those centers to kind of help their team out. But the three is what gets me. Every single good Auburn team has had their great forward. And you can go back to Charles Barkley.
You're right.
Chuma Okeke, Isaac Okoro.
You're right.
Jabari Smith. The forward is what makes Auburn at times. You had your Bryce Browns and Jared Harpers banging 23s a game. You had Walker Kessler getting 50 blocks a game. But when it came to Auburn succeeding in the tournament, in the SEC, in basketball, it came from that 3 or 4 spot. And that's what Auburn's going to have to figure out. You got Jani Broome filling up the 4 spot, but what if Auburn picks up another 4? And puts Jani Broome back at the 5. That gives you a more offensive capable team. Jani Broome does have a great defensive ability, but we saw at times where his defense kind of gave out. I love Jani Broome. Don't think that on me digging on him, I'm criticizing some of the games later on the road where his defense just wasn't there. Arkansas in the SEC tournament, big defensive flop from Jani Broome. So I look at it from that. Can Auburn fill out that role that they need to win the SEC? Every single SEC champion has had their power forwards. Powerful forwards. There we go. You look at Bama, Brandon Miller, up until the tournament was shooting lights out. Look at Oscar Shigwe. He plays a five, but he's really a stretch four.
Right.
Again, Auburn find their guy going into the offseason?
That's the million-dollar question, Dylan. Thank you for hopping on the Wednesday installment of the Auburn Daily Show. For those of you watching the YouTube version, make sure you like, subscribe, ring the bell, and keep up to date with everything going on at the Auburn Daily. I'm Harrison Tarr at @ByHarrisonTarr on Twitter. And if you want to see any of my writ work, if you want to check any of that out, that is at theauburndaily.com. If you don't know where that is, I don't know how you found this show. If you want to listen to check out more of my podcasting work, that's every Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday on The College Loop. That is available wherever you get your podcasts. Dylan, I'll let you go ahead and let everybody know where to find you, and you can get us out of here. Thank you for enjoying us. We will see you same place, same time tomorrow on the Auburn Daily Show. Dylan,
All right, you can follow me on Twitter at @YourBoyTheTank. If you're watching, it's just right there, right below me, right here with the @, not his. But you can also catch me on the Auburn Daily Show on Mondays as well with Lance Daw. And you catch me on the College Loop, which is, like Tar said, literally everywhere. It's Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. And you follow us on social media literally everywhere. That's YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, the works, but no MySpace. I'm going to bring the joke here as well. And, you know, go check us out. We like to have fun. We talk about Auburn just as much as we do here. But yeah,
no more.
But with that, thank you for listening to the Auburn Daily Show.